Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today, we are continuing our watch through of Jessica Jones. We are on episode 5, The Sandwich Saved Me, I believe is the title of the episode. And it's really funny because we'll start at the beginning, but the titles of the episode, it's weird having watched the Disney Plus shows now and seen... I feel like there's maybe a little more thought put into the title of the episode. It's not necessarily just like a line straight out of the show. It's usually like some sort of theme that happens in the show or something like that. But it's funny to watch this Jessica Jones show and see that not all of them, but a good number of the episodes are like lines from the episode. So I don't know if they were just lazy or... They were just trying to be funny. I don't know.
Hey, My Favorite Murder does the same thing. They just pick the most random phrase out of their episode, and that's the title of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, if it works, it works, I guess. You know, who's complaining about the episode titles? But it's just something I noticed when I was like, wait, this one's literally called The Sandwich Saved Me, and somebody says that in the episode. But this episode is a lot of backstory. And then a heist of sorts. So the whole like first, I don't know, 2/3 of the episode probably is more backstory than anything. Really just explaining sort of like how Jessica found out she had powers, and then how Jessica found out or not found out, I guess, how Kilgrave found out about Jessica. So two like completely different things that all kind of are semi-explained in the episode. Jessica works sort of like a dead-end job. You know, not a huge fan of the job. She also is working as a sandwich selling sandwiches. I don't know. She has like flyers and she's dressed like a sandwich.
She's a mascot for sandwiches while also being a sandwich.
Exactly. Yeah. But she sees a little girl walk out into the street and a car is going to hit her. Classic moment for a superhero to save someone. She jumps and punches the car and then a guy yells at her, "Get out of the street, sandwich," or something like that. "Hey, get off the road, you stupid sandwich." That's the line. Which, you know, for someone who is driving a car and somebody jumps in front of the car and like stops it with their hand, I feel like "get out of the road, stupid sandwich" is not the first thing that would run through my mind. I would be a little bit more like, "Whoa, what just happened? Like, did you stop the car with your hand?
We don't all have routers."
Yeah. And yeah, this is New York, so, you know, maybe they don't care that she has superpowers. Also, I don't really know what the timeline is. In the flashback, she looks exactly the same as she looks during the show, so I don't know if this is it has to be pre-Attack on New York, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like pre people knowing about the Avengers or Tony Stark at least. So it is interesting that the first thought is "get out of my way," not "oh my gosh, you are a superhuman." And then from there, we kind of see that Kilgrave is like, "Oh, you're a superhero," because she saves Malcolm from a bunch of muggers. This is sort of like, so last episode we found out that Malcolm's working for Kilgrave. We We don't really know how long. We don't really know how that started. But we know that there's a connection between Malcolm Kilgrave and Jessica, which kind of comes into play a little bit later. Jessica has Malcolm like locked up in her bathroom, seemingly still under the effects of Kilgrave. It's a little creepy because she doesn't really seem to be like helping him.
It's if she thinks she's helping him separate from Kilgrave and also like step away from what appears to be a drug addiction, this is probably not the way to go. It's withdrawal coming in from every direction, and she's just got him chained up in a bathroom. But I mean, she's not a doctor. She's a superhero alcoholic. So what does she know?
Yeah. It's a little sketchy. And on top of being sketchy, it's also a little strange because, again, in the show, I feel like Kilgrave's powers aren't ever really fully explained. In the comics, it's like his pheromones. That's what causes people to do stuff. Also, it's a comic book, so like sometimes that means nothing, sometimes it means everything. So in the show, you would think like, okay, if she kept Malcolm away from him long enough and it was just pheromones, that maybe he would break the spell and be good.
Mm-hmm.
But seemingly he's been away from Kilgrave for a while now. Doesn't seem to matter.
No, it is definitely something different on the show. Like a psychic bond that takes, it seems like it has to wear away almost or be separated by a really, really, really far distance. Based on the advice that Jessica's given to victims and things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely different from the comics, apparently. I haven't read the comics, but it doesn't seem like it's something that is pheromone-based. Because if it was, it seems like you could probably just put on one of the masks that we're all too familiar with now, having lived through a pandemic, and be good.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure there's even a moment in one of the comics where people just plug their nose.
Yeah,
like they literally just put plugs in their nose and then they're good. He doesn't affect them.
Yeah, just put on a public service announcement. Plug up your nose. There's a guy who can make smells to make you do stuff. So don't do it.
Yeah, it's, you know, yeah, it seems like, you know, in the show and again, in the comic books, too, it's like sometimes that works. And then sometimes, I don't know, people don't think about it or something.
They're just like, I can't breathe through my mouth. Right.
But you just think like, man, he's really powerful, but it seems like also really easy to counter if you just plugged your nose.
Yeah, he's not so big and scary if it's just he makes smells.
Yeah.
But so, him preying on you psychologically, that is very, very scary.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that's a little confusing about the show, too, is like we don't know, is it a mixture? Is it smells and his voice? Can he get you with just talking to you? Because then you could just wear earmuffs, right?
Yeah.
Plug your ears and you're good. And then he can't get you. Which, okay, talking about that, that's sort of something that we see the beginning of in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
When they're talking about where, like what they're going to do when they catch him. Where are they going to put him? You know, just like everyone probably has laying around. They have like a bulletproof glass soundproof prison cell that they can put him in their safe house. So
like for Magneto, but not with metal.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is almost like it's audible powers that he has.
Yeah. Something. Although I do love the idea of it being like the plastic kind of container form. And every once in a while, just a little thing of Febreze just drops in. It's like, goes back to
yeah, it's one of those little spray canisters that sounds like someone sneezing really quietly.
And then you jump whenever it happens automatically running. Oh my god. And then he does that every time he comes into his little jail cell.
Like, maybe what if they just like covered him with like air fresheners?
Oh, like the little, like, the little pine ones?
Yeah, like put them in a bag and it was just covered in those.
Loop them over his ears. He'd be fine. No one, yeah. I'd be like, I'm not getting close enough to talk to him.
It's, you know, it's funny because I say recently, I guess it was like a month ago, a little longer, finally watched Black Adam.
Okay.
And there's a whole part where they like catch him, and then they catch him in human form, and so they put this mask on his face so he can't talk. So he can't say Shazam and turn into Black Adam.
Oh, man, that's a pretty easy fix.
Yeah. For like a guy that rivals Superman in his power and ability.
Yeah, that's what the trailers made it look like.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched Black Adam out of protest. Out of protest!
We are a Marvel podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't get super into it, but
we won't.
It's not great. It seems sort of like any movie that The Rock makes. It's more so about The Rock looking cool than it is about any sort of storyline or anything. Pierce Brosnan's in it though. He's cool. Oh, yeah. I like Pierce Brosnan. So.
Yeah, wasn't he in Hot Fuzz? Wasn't he the dude in Hot Fuzz?
I think he's
one of the bad dudes in Hot Fuzz. I mean, obviously he's James Bond. We know he's James Bond. Pierce Brosnan.
What is the one where they go to all the bars?
The World's End?
Yes, that's the one that Pierce Brosnan's in.
Is he in both of them? We interrupt this podcast for a quick Google.
No, he is not. It's the other James Bond that's in Hot Fuzz.
Timothy Dalton.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I was getting my Edgar Wright lines crossed. Okay.
Brosnan was suggested to play Simon Skinner, but he did not get the role.
I mean, like, nothing wrong with Timothy Dalton though. None of us are mad at Timothy Dalton.
Yeah. But he is in The World's End. So he is in one of the Cornetto trilogy movies.
Yes. And all wonderful. Not a bad one in the bunch. But yes, Black Adam, haven't watched it yet, even though it is free on my HBO Max, because I'm still so upset what they've done to Henry Cavill. I might not ever get over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
He's going through a lot right now, you know?
I mean, he seems like he is personally doing great. He's getting his Warhammer show he's always wanted to do. He's finally left Witcher, which was being mean to him, and acting like he's a big dork whenever he just, you know, locks the source material.
Yeah.
And if that man wants to be a big dork, it's okay.
Yeah, he and what's the other one? What's the guy who was in Magic Mike?
Channing Tatum?
No, the other one. The one who's doing the D&D, all the D&D stuff now.
Magic Mike, D&D, don't know. Like you mean the one that just came out with Chris Pine?
I think he was a part of that. Joe Manganiello.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, he's like someone that you would look at and not think he likes D&D, but he's like one of the biggest D&D fans, and he has been pushing for like years to get a D&D movie made, and they finally did it, and now I think I just read that he got a series or something. He's like he's writing and directing a D&D series.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That is like, awesome.
Look at all these, like, you know, you look at him and you're like, ah, look, he's Henry Cavill, Superman. It's like, no, he's just a nerd. He just wants to play video games.
He is just a nerd. Lest we forget, he was also in Stardust, which is a nerd property. And you don't be Superman without being a little bit into Superman, so.
Yeah, just let him be nerdy.
Just let him be nerdy.
Look at what it did for Deadpool.
Yeah,
Ryan Reynolds is like, I like Deadpool, and
he's slinking around all these years with his secret nerddom. Yeah. And now he's turned it into a very, very profitable personal brand.
Exactly. And we are going to get back to Jessica Jones, I promise. But really quick, because I saw something the other day and it validated my theory in my own head. it was previews of merchandise or something for Daredevil 3.
Daredevil?
Not Daredevil. Deadpool, sorry. Deadpool 3. So many Marvel things. And it was like a cartoony drawing of Deadpool and Wolverine. And they were like next to each other with, you know, like
cute friends.
Yeah. And immediately I thought to, do you remember like 4 years, it felt like, mm-hmm. before we got Deadpool? They leaked the scene where he like blows up all the cars on the highway.
Perhaps.
And I don't know that anyone knew that it was a leak. Everywhere that I saw it was like, oh, look at this fan-made Deadpool trailer movie thing. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. I wish they would make that. And then that movie came out and that exact scene was in the movie.
Mm.
It was obviously like, you know, they had colored it a little more and they'd added some more effects and it was a little cooler, but it was bare bones the same scene. So then I started thinking, you know what? I have said since the beginning that I think Hugh Jackman is not going to be Wolverine in this Deadpool movie as much as we want it. I think it's just going to be a funny thing where he's in the movie as Hugh Jackman. And then I started thinking, oh my gosh, all of this stuff that we've gotten between the two of them, where it's like Ryan Reynolds, but in his Deadpool costume, acting like he's Deadpool, sitting with Hugh Jackman,
mm-hmm.
talking about being in Deadpool 3 as Wolverine. I was like, no, what if this is in the movie? What if this is a scene from the movie? And Hugh Jackman's role in the movie is to be Hugh Jackman talking about being in the movie.
Yeah, I would. Okay. I'm okay with this movie. I'm very excited about it. I want to see it today. And even if it is not, even if it is a real movie, if they can just do a whole bunch more of these for the Blu-ray extras.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a whole series. Yeah, just, okay, if they did, I know there is the docuseries right now that is about Wrexham United that Ryan Reynolds bought with Rob McElhenney, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If they did that, but it was just about Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman's friendship.
Yeah.
I would watch the daylights out of that show. Hulu, yeah. Take my money. Roku channel. I will finally break down and subscribe to the Roku channel.
What about Stars? Nobody has Stars.
Oh boy. Nobody does have Stars, do they? Like that was.
Everything goes to Stars.
That was my go-to whenever I had actual satellite TV in high school. Like I watched Stars all the time. And now, not a soul. Not a single soul.
Nope. And it's always the one movie that I want to watch. It's like, well, it's on Stars. And I'm like, yeah, but no one has Stars.
No, gosh. If it's not on Peacock with no ads, I'm not going to watch it.
All right. We'll make our way back to Jessica Jones. But
okay, we're here.
Yeah, that was a quick break brought to you by Deadpool 3 and not Black Adam.
And not Black Adam. Black Adam. Wait, sorry. Putting a pin in Black Adam to come back to later because I'm still mad about it.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Well,
So let's get to the fun part about this episode. We get a heist. It's planned like a heist. It's enacted like a heist. There's not great heist music, which kind of stinks because that would make it even more fun. It's a little bit more, they make it so like intense and it's like, nah, just put some fun like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I'd be like, oh, this is fun. But Trish and her new boyfriend, Will, the police guy,
mm-hmm.
And Jessica are all like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to shoot Kilgrave with a tranquilizer dart.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. That's the plan. And
I literally wrote in my notes, bag him and tag him.
Yeah, it's exactly what they are going to do. And the only person who's trying to be even a little bit conspicuous is the police guy, who by conspicuous, I mean he's walking around with his hand in a brown paper bag. Like, Does anyone ever do that?
No, I'm the dumbest person alive, and I would notice that.
Right. So it's like, okay. And guess what? Kilgrave notices too. I think he's a little more tipped off because Jessica's being all weird while she's talking to him. But, you know, either way, he's tipped off. He's going to get away. But boom, he gets shot with a tranquilizer dart, and all is well. They pick him up. Everyone in the street is just kind of like, hey, what are you doing? And they're like, don't worry about it. And,
and everyone's like, okay. Like,
yeah, everyone's like, all right, that's fine. And so they put him in the car and they drive away with him. As soon as they get back to their little hideout, all of a sudden a bunch of random guys show up to save Kilgrave. And a fight breaks out, and you're kind of like, I get that Jessica is you have to look at it through the lens of like, these people are just people and they're being controlled by Kilgrave, so Jessica doesn't want to hurt them. But they're like tasing her with like stun batons and stuff, like three of them. And she's still standing up. And I just keep thinking, like, when she's fighting them, why wouldn't she break the tasers?
Yeah, that seems like a good option when compared with breaking the people.
Yeah, yeah. And she always just kind of, like, shoves or throws the people. But then they get back up, and guess what? They still have the taser in their hand. So then they just shock her again. Yeah.
Stomp those tasers.
Break them. Just squeeze them and break them, and then you're good. Then they wouldn't tase you to the point where you get knocked out and Kilgrave gets away.
And I'm trying to remember from this episode. Were they the ones that shoot out the thingy that does distance, or the small one that you have to get close and actually touch them with the thingy?
So they had different ones. I think some of them had, like, batons, and then some of them had, like, just a hand taser. And I think she does get shot with one, but she just pulls it out. So I think that was the end of that one. But yeah, it was just kind of like, man, I feel like you could have fought them off and still had Kilgrave. It was like four guys.
Also, did they only bring the one dose of tranquilizer? Why weren't they darting all these dudes?
That's a good question. Also, where'd they get the tranquilizer? I know he's a police officer, but, like, is that just a thing that they have? They have tranquilizer guns?
I would hope not, but maybe.
So, I don't know. It's like a very exciting moment when they go and they catch him and throw him in the van and drive to the hideout, and then the fight breaks out, and you keep thinking, like, yeah, they finally got him. And then it's just kind of like, blah. Like, almost convenient that he gets away.
Big disappointment.
Yeah, and now we're back to square zero.
Merely 5 episodes into a 13-episode series.
I'd like, pick it up, story. Come on. but yeah, so Kilgrave has a security detail that's a bunch of random people, I guess.
And, like, he's vulnerable. She has him in her clutches and doesn't immediately kill him. It doesn't make any sense. Like, she might be like, well, I want him to, like, face me, and I want to talk through everything. I want him to know what a, you know, sack of crap he is or something. No. This is a serial predator. You have precious few seconds while he is incapacitated. Yeah. Do something. You have super strength. Just punch him in the throat. God.
I was just about to say, like, if you don't want to kill him, just crush his windpipe or whatever, his vocal cords, and then he can't trick you and talk and mind control you anymore.
Find where his pheromone pouch is.
Yeah, pull it out. Yeah, it just seems like such an easy fix that... Because, like you said, it's not just... He's not just like a bad guy. He's not just like a guy stealing stuff or trying to like blow stuff up or something. He literally can control you by just telling you what to do.
He has made someone murder their parents. Like,
yeah,
there's not a limit on the kind of devastation he can cause.
Exactly.
And yet we just want to take a moment to, I guess, live with the realization that we've captured him. And then he gets away.
Yeah.
Like, wow, it's all over. No, it's not. It's not over. Until you stab him.
Well, hopefully they'll catch back up to him again. Although now it will probably be harder because he will be on guard. That was kind of their one chance. I mean,
he's like one of the bubble boys now, where he's got a little thingy all the time.
Yep.
So he can protect himself against darts and tranquilizers.
Right. And I mean, we see that he already has some way for people to track him and a team of people that will be there to protect him. So if he was vulnerable and still had all that in place, like, now he's definitely not vulnerable anymore. Mm-hmm. He is going to be like locked up in a house. They probably won't have that shot again. So, and at this point, I don't really remember what happens next. So I don't even remember. Like, I don't know.
Shot again. This is the last episode that I have seen up until this point. And okay, there are three major plots that are happening in this episode. And I say major with a huge grain of salt. So we've got this one where they're trying to capture Kilgrave. They do, and he gets away. Mm-hmm. We've got the backstory story where we're seeing what Jessica was like when she was trying to be a regular superhero with, you know, the fun, what I assume is a comically accurate costume being a suggestion to be, I think, Jewel.
Yes.
and sandwich shenanigans. And it's that one is at least a lot of fun because we get to see a brighter, sunnier Jessica to an extent. this appears to be pre-alcoholism. She does think that she can maybe be a superhero. But then we also have this weird thing happening with, what is the young lady's name? The one who did, you know, shoot her parents.
Hope.
Hope, yeah. Hope. Something is going on in the jail with Hope where it's not clear yet to me what it is. But by the end of the episode, she's got some other big lady beating her up in her bed at jail. So I don't know what kind of prison scraps Hope's getting into, but it doesn't look like things are going well for her in the jail.
it's a weird storyline too, because we see her earlier asking for money, trying to get Jessica to give her money. And then, she gets like beat and then maybe shanked.
We don't know.
Yeah, so we don't know if she's alive anymore, or if that's a storyline anymore, if that was just kind of them wrapping up that storyline.
Like, we're not worried about Hope anymore. She got shanked in jail.
Yeah, yeah. But we don't know, like, was that Kilgrave?
Perhaps. Or maybe she's just... maybe she's just caught beef with the other prison lady.
She could just cause some problems then. Mm-hmm. Or it could have been one of those things like they found out she killed her parents and they were like, that's not cool. And so then they killed her. I don't know. But yeah, the storyline is weird because, again, we're to the point now where I don't really remember. I remember like two things and I remember how it ends. But I don't remember how they get from here to there. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if we see Hope again or not. So it will be interesting moving forward because, it's like we're watching it for the first time all together again. Mm-hmm. So a lot of buildup for kind of everything to fail at the end, five episodes in to 13 episode series. So like not even at the halfway point yet. And it kind of felt like maybe we were at the halfway point. Like everything almost happened and then it didn't. So I feel like there's a lot more disappointment to be had.
Gosh.
In these next couple episodes.
We're like kind of at the third way point, which is not a thing.
Well, I guess it is for this, yeah. Maybe they catch him again. I know at one point he gets in that cell where he can't talk. Because they just, I can't comprehend whose safe house it is and why they have this weird bulletproof, soundproof glass dome room thing. But comic book, people got all kinds of stuff. Guy flies around the world in a suit, you know. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
We'll see.
But we have some other exciting stuff to talk about outside of Jessica Jones.
Yes.
Sort of in the vein of new Marvel stuff coming up.
Yes.
We got a Secret Invasion trailer dropped this week. This week. And another trailer for Into the Spider-Verse, which we recognize isn't MCU canon, but it is still fun that it is a Marvel property. So
it's all canon now that we're in the multiverse. We can claim everything.
Yeah, exactly. We can claim what we want and we can drop what we don't want. That's the important part, Sony. So let's do Spider-Verse first, just because it is sort of a standalone thing. So we get a glimpse at some more Spider-Men that are going to show up, which is cool. I really liked the first movie. I highly doubt that I'm not going to like this one. They still got the same sort of animation style going on. It is weird because I feel like in the first one, it was a big thing that for most of the movie, Miles was animated at a different frame rate until he like kind of came into his own as Spider-Man. And then he was at the same frame rate as Peter Parker. And it was kind of a way for them to show graphically his progression. But it seems like in the trailer, he sort of has that slower frame rate.
Maybe he's doubting himself.
I haven't seen the movie, so maybe there is a reason to it. But for me, it just kind of seems like I don't want them to do the same thing again. I don't want this movie to be a copy paste of the first movie with some different people.
I don't either, but I expect really great things out of the movie, given the cast and all the creative team that's involved. And I am very excited that we get a baby Spider-Man in this. Peter B. Parker now has a baby that he has perhaps poorly chosen to bring with him on this multiverse adventure.
Or maybe not. Maybe the baby is Super Spider-Man.
It might be. I mean, I do think that it doesn't it do a web shooter like this toddler baby does a web shooter, and gotta teach the kid the ropes, I guess. Get some hands-on experience for your toddler. But the cutest thing is that he has to wear like a little baby Bjorn to carry the baby around. So I'm looking forward to some A+ baby content in the new Spider-Verse movie.
And we will definitely get it.
Yes.
I really hope that we get Spider-Man 2099 or 2029, whatever.
Mm-hmm. We call him Oscar Isaac.
Yes. we get Oscar Isaac Spider-Man, who is one of my favorite ones from when I was a kid. I wasn't super into those comics, but I always thought like his was like the coolest universe because he was in like this weird cyberpunk future, and then he had those cool arm blade things that I was always kind of concerned, like while he was swinging, like don't like accidentally swing into your own web and like cut it, you know? That seems like a poor design for your suit.
But yeah, it seems likely that would happen at some point.
Yeah. But he also drove a motorcycle, which
never mind. Like
a space motorcycle. So maybe he didn't swing around a lot. I don't know. But I was excited to see that Spider-Man's going to make an appearance. And hope we get Cyborg Spider-Man, because that's another one that I really liked as a kid. I want more of this as long as they can keep up the story and the writing.
Mm-hmm.
I think as soon as that starts to slip and get a little lazy, it's going to not be as fun or exciting to watch. And it'll be more like, ugh, great, another Spider-Verse movie where they shoehorn a bunch of, you know, Spider-Man into it. I do hope that there are more Spider-Man in this one that we haven't seen in the trailers. I know that was a thing at the first one. They kind of showed them all in the trailer, and then you watch the movie and you're like, oh, I was kind of hoping there was maybe like one more.
Right. We hadn't seen yet. I would like to see some of the originals come back as well, because so far we haven't seen them in the trailers, but it would be fun to have them be part of this new movie.
Mm. Yeah. Even if it's just like the beginning, it would make sense. It would be weird if they only showed, because Gwen was from a different universe, right?
Yeah, Gwen was one of the other universe spider persons.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it'd be fun to have cameos from like Spider-Man Noir and Penny Parker and the crew.
Yeah. So hopefully, fingers crossed. I don't know the release date for that, but it is soonish.
I want to say it's July. I think it's July.
That sounds right. I'm on a computer. I can look. Spider.
We do have access to the internet.
2023. That's June.
Yes. It was. I will remind everyone, this was supposed to be released last October.
Yeah,
it which was is my another, birthday.
Another.
And it was also supposed to be like a movie, and now it's two movies. I guess the story is too big for a movie, so now it's two movies.
Classic. Well, speaking of June releases, the other trailer that we got was Secret Invasion, which is set to come out on Disney Plus June 21st, I believe. Mm-hmm. At least that's what the last article that I saw about it said. So
that sounds right.
Question. I don't know if anyone listening saw the leaked-ish trailer, teaser, whatever, from the Marvels. But in that trailer, teaser thing, we see Nick Fury on a Skrull ship in outer space, and he seems to be fine and living his life. And that movie doesn't come out for a while now, because it just got pushed back.
Yet again.
And so now I feel like we're in another Black Widow position, right? Where like Black Widow was supposed to come out after Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but instead it came out. Or no, it was supposed to come out before Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but instead it came out after. Mm-hmm. So the whole like reveal with Cruella LaFontaine, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
That reveal was kind of ruined a little bit because we saw her, but we didn't know who she was. And then she says who she is, and we're all still kind of like, you just showed up. Like, who? We don't know who you are. And then they explained who she was very clearly, having it meant to be before we saw her in the show. So it was like, ah, man. So now I feel like we're getting that with this Nick Fury. We're going to see
a future Nick Fury
and then past Nick Fury. I don't know.
Perhaps, but I mean, we don't know. We do not know. And hopefully we're moving out of our pandemic era where things are being jumbled up for many, many reasons. So maybe it's just that after what appears to be a really harrowing ordeal in Secret Invasion, that Nick Fury's like, I'm back, baby. And then he like shaves and puts on his coat.
Yeah,
and he's back to normal.
Sure, maybe that is exactly what happens. I don't know. Or maybe we watch Secret Invasion and the whole time we think it's Nick Fury, and at the end, surprise, it's a Skrull. I mean, that's sure. That could very well be what's happening.
Yeah, we don't know. With Skrulls around, we don't know what anything is anymore for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Everything's a lie now. Mm-hmm. So any Marvel thing that you watch could very well later be revealed that, mm-hmm, surprise, they were all Skrulls and it was all fake and this isn't even a real universe. I will say a cool thing that we get from the trailer, apart from a very like gloomy looking show, is we see two signs of a Super Skrull, which kind of cool, could give us some, you know, I don't know if anyone listening is a big like Fantastic Four fan, but Super Skrull's a big Fantastic Four bad guy, because basically he has a stretchy arm, an invisible leg, a fire arm, and a rock leg or something like that. He basically has like one of each of the Fantastic Four's powers on his arms and legs. And so it's kind of like, oh, are we going to get that? Are we going to get a Super Skrull? I mean, in the trailer that we get, it looks kind of like he has almost like Groot arms. He has like a big wooden fist, and then another guy shoots like little wooden tendrils. So I don't know, but I could also see this us getting some sort of nod to the Fantastic Four, which we will get eventually.
I mean, they might introduce the Fantastic Four in Secret Invasion. We simply do not know.
That's true. It'd be cool.
It would be cool.
Even if we get like pre Fantastic Four, Fantastic Four, just as like an introduction, you know?
Even name drop the family and everybody be like, oh
yeah, yeah,
it's happening.
Or the building, the Baxter building, like something. I mean, you know, just this seems like the easiest way to
crumbs. Crumbs is all we want.
Speaking of introductions and crumbs, we get another maybe X-Men crumb. We know Amelia Clark is in the show. If you look at IMDb, she does not show up.
But
if they've added her, maybe she shows up, but it doesn't say who she is.
They did say on a totally different thing, like they confirmed what her character is. She's actually a character that we have seen before in Captain Marvel.
Oh.
She is, there was a young Skrull girl who was the daughter of two of the other Skrulls that we get to know. I cannot remember their names at the moment. Oh. But Amelia Clark is playing the grown-up version of that little Skrull.
Interesting.
Yes, so.
Did they say her name?
They did, and I forgot it.
Okay, is it Abigail Brand?
Hang on. Okay. What? Is the name of the Skrull that Amelia Clark plays? She's playing Talos's daughter Gaia.
Okay, then never mind. Because when I was looking things up on Google, it said she will be seen playing the role of Abigail Brand. Abigail Brand is a mutant and an X-Men with the power of pyrokinesis.
Ooh.
So I thought, maybe we're getting an X-Men finally, or like
the second Google result says Amelia Clark isn't playing Abigail Brand.
Okay, well, Invasion. All right, got me, Google, tricked me. But glad you looked it up, because yeah, I was running on some old material, I guess.
None of us can keep up. We're not keeping up.
Yeah, I know, and all of this could still be fake, and it could be. She's actually Professor Xavier, and they gender swapped.
Or she's just Daenerys, and she's like, guess what?
yeah, surprise.
Crossover. It's the
Game of Thrones crossover. oh my gosh, I would probably actually not. I would stop watching.
They would no longer have a podcast.
Yes, would be like, sorry.
In protest of Daenerys Targaryen.
I cannot do this. No. Well, okay. Well, that explains one, or that answers one question that I was thinking of. So, all right. Well, then we know who Amelia Clark is going to be. We don't know what her role is as far as why she's in the show, or who's a good Skrull, who's a bad Skrull, or are there bad Skrulls? Are there good Skrulls? I don't know. I'm interested to see what goes on. I'm also interested to see sort of what the storyline is. Secret Invasion and Secret Wars are like a big storyline in Marvel. So it's interesting that we're focusing on it in a series and not as a movie, especially since all this Kang stuff is going on in the MCU. So it would be weird to kind of shoehorn Secret Wars or Secret Invasion into Kang stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see if there will be any crossover between this and movies or not. I would assume there would probably have to be, but also I don't know because, I mean, we got What If, and that has yet to have any sort of crossover with anything else. So this could just be like a one-off series. Maybe they're just trying like, hey, what if we did like a, you know, a couple seasons of this series and it had nothing to do with anything.
Well, I mean, What If is a little bit different, I guess, because it is technically set in different universes. And this one appears to be set in the MCU proper mm-hmm. with our current universe before we have to jump into different ones. So I would think that it has, like, stuff to do with future projects, but we won't know until we see it.
Yep.
Womp.
And then for another, like, 5 years for when it pays off in some way in an MCU movie. So, but yeah, it looks exciting. It looks, it kind of has more of a WandaVision feel than mm-hmm. it does like a She-Hulk feel.
There's not a lot of whimsy happening based yes, on the trailer.
No. It does seem a little bit darker, a little bit more serious, a little less like goofy, funny Marvel. So mm-hmm. interested, but that's right around the corner, so hope everybody's ready. June and July are going to be busy months.
They are.
And, yeah, we're looking yeah. forward to it.
And what we are not looking forward to is that we have to wait until September for Loki Season 2 to come out. That's the word yep. on the street, anyway.
Another push. Well, we'll see. I'm hoping that eventually the tables will turn and everything will all of a sudden start coming sooner than later.
Yeah, that would be great. They wrapped Loki Season 2 last summer. And I understand you have to spend some time in post, and it's one of the more effects-heavy shows. But good gravy. Tom Hiddleston's baby that was not born yet is going to be over a year old when this show comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see what all the effects look like.
Hopefully, me too,
if
but...
there's one bad effect, it will be like, what were you doing with all that wasted time?
Yeah, we gave you forever. We gave you literally forever.
Well, my question this week is going to be based on our Secret Invasion trailer. It's going to be, if you were a Skrull, what superhero would you replace on Earth? Mm-hmm. So let us know in the comments and listen out for our answers next week.
Do we'll finally answer?
Start answering on the show, mostly because I don't remember what the question was from
I actually episode. I wrote down the last question.
Oh, perfect.
In my notes. I wrote it really big so we wouldn't forget it. Okay, so our last question that you posed for us to answer ourselves is, what item would we heist from the MCU and who would we put on our heist squad?
Yes.
Okay. Take it away.
You go first and then I'll
Why me?
Go.
I
need a second.
I didn't write down an answer. Okay. So, all right. I think the temptation would be to take one of the Infinity Stones.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that I'm worthy or capable of wielding that kind of power. So I think what I would host, the thing I would steal, would be the fancy masks where you can look like anybody else. Black Widow and the Muse.
Yeah. Because
that's handy for a lot of different situations. It is cosmetic. So if I'm ever just not wanting to do makeup, ba-doom, the mask does all the work for me. I would wear it every day. I wouldn't leave the house without it. And as for my heist team, I mean, you gotta go with Black Widow because she's a literal spy. I think... Yep. I would also bring Bucky because he was kind of involved in espionage and secret-y type things for a while. And y'all know I love Loki, but I don't know if I'd trust him enough to be on my heist squad because he would probably just heck off to wherever he actually wanted to go. Okay. And Tony, I mean, Tony probably has the tech and would just hand it over and be like, I don't care. You just take it.
Yeah.
We don't have to heist this. Yeah. I can make this.
And probably better. Yeah.
Probably better.
Okay. Mine would be Terrigen Mist.
Ooh.
Because I would hope that then I would get a mutant ability and Ooh. It would be cool.
Or you would die.
Yes. One of the two. It's a risk, but I'm willing to take it. The squad that I would roll with would be Rocket.
Fun
because
one.
I feel like if we got in any sort of trouble, he would be able to figure out a way to get us out. Ant-Man, because, I mean, he can shrink real tiny, so if there's a locked door, he could just go in there and pop it open for us.
All this talk about heisting, and I never thought of Ant-Man.
Then my last person would probably be Kitty Pryde, because she could, if there is a wall that no one else can get through, she can just walk through it.
Smart. So,
yeah.
Good.
That's
good
my
picks.
Heist. My heist squad. All right. I'm going to immediately write down the question from this week so I remember it next week.
Do it.
So look out for our answers next week. Mm-hmm. Send us your answers on our social media, and we'll see you guys next week for another episode of Jessica Jones.
Yes, and for me taking the pen out of the thing I was going to say about Black Adam.
Yes, yeah, that's going to be how we start next week. Black Adam update.